Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome to Spiritual Conversation, honest and joyful explorations of ideas to help us align with our true spiritual purpose and live our best lives. I am your host, Jacqueline Claire, Mermaid of the Airwaves, here to take your hand and go on some deep dives together. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome to Spiritual Conversation, honest and joyful explorations of ideas to help us align with our true spiritual purpose and live our best lives. I am your host, Jacqueline Claire, Mermaid of the Airwaves, here to take your hand and go on some deep dives together. And today I want to talk in the most joyful and life-affirming way about this planet not being our true home, and about these bodies not being our true selves. And gosh, what do I mean by that? So many things. But first off, I just want to say that if you feel like you don't aspire to and relate to the same things that drive other people, like to be super affluent and acquire all kinds of fancy things, you know, to work, to slave away in a cubicle so that then you can get your own office, to then you can get the big fancy office so you can wear a fancy watch and impress other people. Like, if that doesn't move you, or, you know, working hard in school so that you have the chance to get to that point doesn't move you, or, you know, being like super sexually desirable or prolific, you know, like, or having a certain status or have people know your name. Like, if these things, you know, like quietly, secretly in your heart don't do it for you, if you are easily saddened and depressed by life and the world, if you feel like you just don't fit in, if you have a hard time, you know, finding what your groove is, if you have a hard time finding your passion, your professional offering, if you don't feel comfortable in your own body, if you don't feel comfortable like a gazillion percent of the time, you're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. And in fact, I think someone who, you know, experiences any number of those things or any other things I didn't mention, but in the same vein, I actually think you are a step ahead. The door to heaven, so to speak, and heaven being enlightenment, nearness to God, fulfilling our true spiritual purpose and destiny in this life, that door to heaven is open wider to you than someone who doesn't really think about these things, the person who seems like super comfortable in their own body, who seems to kind of get joy out of the things everyone else seems to be getting joy out of. And I'm not dissing that, like, kudos to them. But in truth, we are spiritual beings who have been given this assignment in earth school, so to speak. Carolyn Mace uses that phrase a lot. Like, this is earth school, and we have certain responsibilities here. Like, you know, either you or someone else has to make money so you can live and eat and have a roof over your head. And, you know, in my faith, in the Baha'i faith, we're encouraged to marry, we're encouraged to work, like, we're encouraged to be part of our neighborhoods and communities, like, to be part of this world. And we all grow from infanthood and go through different phases of life. And each of those phases have different tasks and responsibilities. Like, the experience of this life is real and it matters, but it's all actually just a workspace. It's just a template for what's going on in the invisible development of our souls, our spiritual qualities that we're developing, like patience and steadfastness and truthfulness. Of course, that's the foundation. Care, patience, integrity, all of these things. Like everything, you know, in our lives, our jobs and our health challenges, these are all like weights in the gym, right? That we're either lifting or actually like weighing ourselves down with, that help us grow spiritually stronger. And frankly, it's the eternal truth. One day we're going to take flight and it's going to be like, you know? And I feel that in all of our different ways, the world tries to sort of trick us into taking it very, very seriously and putting our priorities in this world. And very often we mistake external material gains and changes for inner growth, when actually our soul is yearning for transformation, we, you know, just buy things. Online shopping, whether it's like clothes or whether it's health products or whatever it may be, you know, like it's really time to clean house inside and, you know, you go buy a bunch of lipsticks online. Not that I ever do that. I would never know anything about that. Just kidding. You know, like, and that's a silly thing. Or maybe we change our hair. You know what? It's time to go blonde. And if I was blonde, the world would see me different and my work would be easier. And that's really what I want to do. And then we like get into this idea, right? We invest in this idea of our external change. Like, yeah, when I start taking that collagen, like everything's going to be different. Or after my nail appointment on the 12th, like, whoo. Or, you know, sorry, these are all very feminine examples. I'm sure, you know, like after, whoo, after I've been doing this CrossFit for like a month, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be a different man, you know, or buy that car or whatever it is. And I think, honestly, truly, and I'm not here to make statements about people's life choices, but I truly feel that that's also a lot of what's happening with the massive transgender movement right now. Like, I feel that it is indicative of our spiritual awakening, that so many people realize that their body is not who they are, right? So many people feel like they are off, that they don't align with what it feels like the current of society is telling them who they are and what they should want. But because the world is ruled by ignorance and ego, right? The ignorance of our spiritual reality, true materialism, we're just obsessed with our material reality. We are guiding these souls that could be like shamans, right? They are palpably, uncomfortably aware that we're all sort of on the wrong track. And instead of feeding that and saying, yes, that's true, what's missing? Our spiritual reality, a reorientation towards the spiritual instead of the material. Instead, oftentimes they're getting like a vortex sucked back in to the seduction of the material world. Oh, you don't feel at home here? You feel like you're in the wrong body? All of our bodies are just lumps of flesh that we're going to give up one day. But let's fix it. Let's materially fix it. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be like anti allopathic medicine, anti-trans, or anything like that. Like, for sure, if I had a limb cut off, in an accident or something, I doubt I'd just be like, oh, it's, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, for sure, like, let's fix it. But I'm speaking here of like a broader principle of, if you feel like something is off, before you just go fix it materially, maybe you can realize that, like Kelly Brogan says about depression, you are the canary in the coal mine. The world is insane, not you. The world is deeply lost in materialism, in a lack of awareness and nurturance of its spiritual reality and the actual purpose of our lives. And if you are sad, if you feel depressed, which to me always feels like my spirit is oppressed, you're right. You are so right. And don't try to fix it. Try to see past it. Know that you're right. And nurture your spiritual reality. Let that pain draw you to God and ask God to help you rise out of that depression. And again, with the trans thing, like, if we could first like take these little shamans and say, we live in an amazing day and age and so many possibilities are open to you. But first, let's step away. Let's take a step back from this obsession with our material reality. And instead of going deeper down that rabbit hole, let's go deeper into the meaning of life, God's unique relationship and purpose for you, and manifesting that in your life, knowing that you're right and the world is wrong as far as its priorities. And maybe you can be a spark to help wake more people up. And the challenge with pursuing material change, whether that's, building up degrees, you're writing your dissertation and XYZ, or whether it's like, progressively lightening your hair, whatever it is. In life, we do derive the greatest joy and pleasure often from working towards a goal, which can be very deceptive. Again, I'm just going to use that silly example of like, I decided I wanted to go platinum blonde and that was going to change my life. I have that fantasy, right? And the mind is very powerful and I get really invested. Like, yes, that feels right. That feels like that is what's going to change my life, And then I'll feel at home in my body and I'll feel so much more comfortable with other people and other people will see me the way I want to be seen. And then, my art will be great. And then I'll meditate with more peace because I'll be comfortable, whatever. Thing is, it's going to take a long time to get my hair to platinum. We're going to have to go like lots of appointments spread out over months of time. And because we are wired to find joy in the pursuance of a goal, the pursuit of a goal, and in small victories, there's much more pleasure in writing your book than having it finally on the shelves. It's just a weird thing. You think it's going to be having it on the shelves, but it's actually working towards it and having the fantasy of it on your shelf and being accountable to yourself and making those goals. So every time I go to the hair appointment and my hair gets a little bit lighter and I get a little closer to that goal, I'm going to get that hit of satisfaction. And see, that's the allure. That's how you get sucked in to thinking this is the path to happiness. This is the path to meaning. And I brought up the transgender because for some reason YouTube has been sending me suggesting all of these videos of women who have detransitioned. I don't know why. I didn't search it, but I love them. Rival Maverick in particular, her initial video was just like mind-blowing. And so she was born female. She started to trans to be male, and then she changed her mind and went back to being a female with a really deep, share voice. And there are others too. And it's been so interesting to me to hear their testimony, and that many of them never really felt misgendered. It wasn't that, which again, it's like, ooh, who, if they didn't even feel that, how did they get on that path? But you know what I mean? Like their therapist should have caught that had nothing to do with gender, but really they just didn't feel comfortable in life. And like her, oh my God, she mentioned, you know, for her, it's like she considers herself asexual and aromantic, meaning she's not into sex and she's not into like romance either, but she does want to have a partner. She does want to have deep, meaningful connection. And she said this started when she was like 13. That means she was feeling some sort of pressure to make a decision about her orientation towards sex and romance at 13. Is that not indicative that there's something wildly wrong in the world? You know, maybe it was the fact that our society is obsessed with sex and pushes it on people way too young. And maybe it's because all of her experiences were absolutely devoid of depth, meaning, intimacy, love. Like, could that be part of the discourse a little bit? And another one of the women, she actually identified, like, she just didn't like her physical body. She just thought her physical body was gross. Like, not just hers, like, in general, bodies are gross. And she truly identified more with, like, a robot or a machine, like, the cleanliness and simplicity of that. And, you know, as I'm saying that sounds kind of weird, but I also understand it. And I've heard people who had near-death experiences say when they saw their body, they were kind of like, ugh. You know, like, what is that bag of soft flesh, you know? Because it's not who we are. No? So that is my that is my message for you this week to think about and take from it what you will. If you feel like you don't relate, you know, everyone in the world is like rushing towards certain outcomes. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to get a job with good health care. I'm going to have the, you know, biggest, juiciest lips in the world and be the most appealing. I'm going to, whatever it is, and you like don't relate. I'm going to have the fanciest car. I want people to be jealous of my Mercedes. It's okay. It's okay. And think of yourself as lucky. And try not to check out, whether that's like just disassociating and denying your feelings, or like a more extreme form of checking out. And also try not to get sucked in to the illusion that some external change is going to be the answer. If there is an external change, like you would do better in a different city, or you know whatever it is, I think those external changes have much more meaning when they're an inner out rather than an out in, because I don't think that works very often. And what I mean by inner out is if you focus on, you know what, I'm gonna hand this over to God. And I'm going to think about what Jackie said, and that maybe I am lucky, and maybe my friends who seem like they don't have a problem with this life, maybe I'm kind of a step ahead of them. I see something that they don't see. And maybe I have a chance to more deeply develop my soul now at this time of my life, and I'm really gonna work on that and being in a state of prayer and reading the holy writings. And then if there are external changes that need to happen, you'll know. And they'll come to you in a way that isn't immersion, deeper immersion in this life and in the illusions and the chimeras of this world. All right, my friends, until next time, I wish you the best for more deeply exploring these ideas in the quietude of your own heart and mind, and for playing your part in making this world a better place. I'll catch you next time.